so I'll probably wind down here a little bit. Given that it's 106 degrees in here. And two of you fell asleep. After having given a marvelous description of the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the death of the cross, and as bad you look at that, and it doesn't look like Jesus had a good day. As bad as all that looked on a human level, you see then the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the point where every tongue confesses and every knee shall bow.
Yes.
You see that, and Paul comes out of that in Philippians chapter 2, long about verse 11, where that ends with a verse 12, wherefore, I'm thinking, whoa. He just showed me some of the most marvelous things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's starting with a wherefore. Mm-hmm. Wherefore tells me I need to apply this.
Yes.
I need to learn something from this about the mind of Christ.
Yes.
That's a wow. That's pretty heavy. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you have, as ye plural, have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Already I'm getting hit alongside the head. I should behave better when I'm not under a tutor than when I am.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Paul's the one who taught me everything. I should behave better when I'm not around him than when I am with him. Well, I mean, already it's just work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We'll deal with that. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So the willing of it has to come before the doing of it, doesn't it?
Yes.
The willing of it coming before the operation matches Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, doesn't it? That I learn the material, and the function of learning the material produces that walk. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul says so much in his little prayer. Remembering prayer stirs up previously installed doctrine.
Yes.
In dealing with God and circumstance. Paul prays that you might be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What happens as a result? The worthy walk. Verse 10.
Yes.
What happens as a result of the worthy walk? Being fruitful. Verse 10. So first you learn it, then you walk according to that, and then you start to see some fruit. You continue to grow, increasing in the knowledge of God. Verses 9 and 10 of Colossians chapter 1 are so instructive and so profound. I have them come back to my mind again when I read that God's working something in me, both to will. I will to do something. I choose to do something because of what I've learned from God's Word. That is the installation of the knowledge. That is the installation of God's wisdom from His Word. That then causes my chooser. My chooser used to be a bad chooser. My chooser was broke.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to do a life of dissipation and wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
God fixed my chooser by installing right doctrine in my inner man. I'm strengthened in the inner man. The inner man needs strength because he needs to handle the outer man. Mm-hmm. Lester Roloff said, inside of every human being there are two dogs, good dog and bad dog. Whichever dog you feed will win the fight.
Yeah.
When the dogs have a dog fight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whichever dog you feed wins. So feed the good dog.
Mm-hmm.
And walk accordingly. Now, God works something in me. Salvation, His Holy Spirit, the earnest of my inheritance, right division, right doctrine. God works something in me. It's my job to work that out, to make an expression of it. I do that, not fearing and trembling that I'm going to lose my salvation, fearing and trembling that I'm an offense to God, fearing and trembling that what I'm dealing with are fairly important issues, heaven, hell, souls saved, souls condemned, fairly important stuff. What could be more so? Now, as I learn about this single-mindedness that I'm to have, Paul told me to have one mind in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. He told us all to be like-minded in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. To have not vainglory, which would be about me, but rather lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. I need to take away from the book of Philippians some things about how my mind should work. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 16, we're all minding the same thing. The idea of ecumenicism, the idea of egalitarianism is not what Paul is promoting when he, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, derides the fact that one says he's of Apollos, one says he's of Paul. He's not saying it doesn't matter. It does. The point is, it does matter. It's not, well, as long as you believe that 2 and 2 are 9, as long as you're sincere and did your homework, that counts. No, you don't get a certificate for participation. You get a certificate for getting it right. There's a difference, and we need to hold to that which is true.
Yes.
Not to hold to that which is popular, convenient, or what I heard the Christian celebrity say.
Yes.
Don, between classes, was talking about how we too mindlessly accept things.
Yeah.
And you think back to who were the leaders of Christianity over the last couple of centuries, and even in what you would call the fundamental, fighting fundamentalists and all of that kind of stuff. I have to tell you, you go back and read their literature, it scares you half to death.
Yeah.
Because as powerful as Frank Norris was, as amazing, Billy Sunday took preaching into the 20th century. He changed how everything was done.
Yes.
I read him and I think, whoo, I hope he was saved. I've read Luther's 95 Theses. I've read Luther's commentary on Romans. I've read Luther's commentary on Galatians. It's scary out there.
Yes, it is.
I so respect John Wesley. The Wesleyans seem to have made a mess of what Wesley said. But I read Wesley and there's times he scares me. There's times when Peter Cartwright, who's my hero, you know, I so love Peter Cartwright and the irascible character that he was. He was something else. Every once in a while he'd say something that's so dumb you think, oh man, can I say that? He can say that. Scary business. I'm to learn the mind of Christ Jesus, not the mind of Christianity as it's being portrayed. I can bring you books that list the things that Billy Graham said in chronological order to demonstrate he was an unsaved charlatan.
Yes.
The book's about this thing.
Yeah.
Hardback book.
Yeah.
Billy Graham.
Oh yeah.
Preacher, prophet, phony. Question mark.
Yeah. Yeah. What
a book. I think Elvis is in heaven on account of he loved his mother.
Oh.
Okay. It's scary.
Yes, it is.
I need a different mentality from anything that Robert Shuler has to offer.
Yes.
From anything that T.D. Jakes has to offer. Mm-hmm. from anything that Joel Osteen has to offer. I'm not purpose driven.
No.
I need to be Christ driven, mm-hmm. according to the revelation of the mystery. So the more I listen to Rick Warren, the more disingenuous a rascal of political correctness he seems to me to be.
Oh, yes.
You make up your own decision.
Oh, yes.
I read Sarah Palin's book. If you think there's hope there, may I recommend you move to Alaska and leave the rest of us alone. I've said to you before how many times 3:16 verses are really exciting verses, and in Philippians chapter 3, verse 16, we're to mind the same thing, all of us.
Well, what he teaches is different, but you know, it's grace.
No! That is a coward's response to dealing with issues.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right still right and wrong still wrong. When I'm wrong, I'm so grateful to have been married for 46 years to a lady who will tell me.
Yes. My job.
And when I got an email from a fellow just the other day, and he said, you blew it. And I think it was two lessons ago, I started reading something that Paul had written, and then I said, turn to the book of Hebrews, and it sounded like, did I say, as Paul wrote Hebrews, and if I did, it was a malaprop, it was a misspeaking, but when the guy emails me and said, that's what you said, I'm more careful today.
Yeah.
And being that that's what I said, my calling it out now does what? Clarifies it forever, doesn't it?
Oh. Yeah.
When you get to a point where nobody can correct you, you'll be the second one to go to a cross. You'll be the second one that was perfect. They killed the first one. So we're to mind the same thing, verse 16, Philippians 3:19. We're to mind, not to mind earthly things. We are, however, to glory in spiritual, heavenly things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, to be the same mind in the Lord. I read these references dealing with a mind, and I come away from it thinking, Paul is putting on the table information to one of the better groups.
Yes.
Faithful people.
Yes.
That are standing with him. Paul tweaks them. We already seen a list of five things he wants them to do. Mm-hmm. He would have them to take away from this, the book of Philippians, a better understanding of how the intricacies of our brain matter ought to work, how our minds ought to work. Yeah. We make decisions, don't you know? Mm-hmm. We choose to do certain this's and that's. Early on, I made a choice. God's book is right. Everybody else's book is wrong.
Yes.
If that puts me at odds with every paleontologist, if that puts me at odds with every biologist, I don't have to win the fight against the biologist and the paleontologist. God does, and I'll leave it to him.
Amen.
But so far, I've found the paleontologists and the biologists keep rewriting their books and keep coming up with things that say what I said yesterday wasn't so.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraged that I'm on the right track.
Amen.
Letting God to be true and every man a liar.
Right.
All those boys and girls with their plastic models of dinosaurs, 34% of them never existed. They're just made up.
Yes.
I call them on my radio broadcast, never was a source. And couldn't be a source.
Yeah.
If you're a dinosaur, why would you evolve into a bird? You eat birds.
Yes, feathers itch.
You step on birds. You use birds for toothpicks.
Yes.
Looking at the passage again in Philippians chapter 12, 2 verses 12 and 13. Our Arminian friends take verse 12 to mean that you have to work to maintain your salvation. Arminianism. I take a hard line here, and folks don't like it, but I think it's good that I do, and I think it's instructive. Arminianism is a belief system that is not capable of presenting salvation by grace through faith.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Oh, every Methodist believes Jesus died for his or her sins and the assembly of God. And yeah, that's fine, but they add to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection their subsequent performance to keep themselves saved and to not lose their salvation by some sin that is so egregious that it undoes Calvary's cross. So they're not trusting Christ, they're trusting themselves to keep themselves from falling.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
That's not the gospel of the grace of God.
No.
They've taken their life and added to the cross. And so now I've trusted Jesus, so now I can live the life. That was brought home to me probably the best part more than two decades ago, when I was listening to a Baptist evangelist friend of mine, and he had finished a meeting, and they're in the interminable altar call. And, you know, he's playing his 37th verse one more time, just as I am without one plea. You know. A guy, probably 28, 26 years old, nice looking, said, well, I ain't going to come forward till I knows that I can live it. Because I've been around too many church people, and they ain't living it. Billy said from the pulpit, well, you just have to enjoy hell then.
Bless his heart.
Because you're never going to live it. They're not living it either. You're just confused. I sat there in great admiration.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because he said pretty much what I think I would have said.
Yes.
You're just going to have to enjoy hell then.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're going, because you'll never live it. Every once in a while, Baptist, you know, blind squirrel, find an acorn down again. He's my favorite Baptist.
Yes, by a long time.
Jamestown, Tennessee, Brother Billy Mitchell. Arminianism has implicit, you can choose whether to be saved or not to be saved at any point. That you choose to misbehave, you've chosen to get out of the hand of Christ. You know where that comes from, John chapter 17.
Yeah.
They're in my hand, and yeah. You can jump out of his hand.
Yeah.
So that's the Arminian view. And Finis Jennings Dake, who is the granddaddy of a lot of Pentecostal teaching that's out there today. If you read Finis Jennings Dake and if you read E.W. Kenyon, you know everything that's on the plate of everybody else that's out there today, whether it be Joyce Myers or who. Mm-hmm. Finis Jennings Dake says, proof positive that you can lose your salvation is fear and trembling. Fear and trembling would only be in the verse if there was a danger. So what is there danger of? It's a danger. If you haven't obeyed, you lose it. You're not working out your salvation. Let's see. My apostle just spent six verses telling me about the greatness of my Savior, both in his humility and in his exaltation. And now Paul is using that to teach me something. And I shouldn't have a little fear and a little trembling about doing it. I'm not going to lose my salvation, but can I mess up?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you're quick to that, you know.
Brother Terry, if anybody can mess up, you're the guy for it.
I appreciate your vote of non-support.
I
feel like Tony Blair. You're out of here, son. Number 10, what? Now, the Arminian belief system, I always work on the premise that these are unsaved, well-meaning people, but yeah. unsaved people, oftentimes self-righteous people,
yeah.
sanctimonious sometimes, they're better than you because they talk in tongues and you don't. They don't yeah. talk down their nose to you. But I guess I've got more sympathy for the person that goes to hell from a church pew than I have for the person that goes to hell from a bar stool.
Yeah.
Because at least the person in the church pew has some idea that there is a God and time to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy in the bar stool is saying, well, I'd rather go to hell when that's where my friends are.
Yeah.
It may be the person in the church pew is more hard-headed and sanctimonious than the guy in the bar stool.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be a living sacrifice. Have you died lately? We're supposed to be crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to reckon ourselves indeed dead unto sin.
Yes.
Seems to me those are concepts a little bit fearsome. My knees don't shake. But I can't tell you the number of times I have awakened at 2 o'clock in the morning thinking, I'm going to have to go downstairs and do that radio program over because there's a sentence in there I didn't say it right.
Mm-hmm.
Or after a meeting, man, I could have done better. Am I not supposed to be doing that which helps others and strengthens others? And Paul talks in 1 Thessalonians about filling up that which is lacking. You realize what that requires?
Mm-hmm.
You got to look past people's faces. You got to hear what they say. You got to discern what's going on. Then maybe you'll figure out what's lacking.
Mm-hmm.
Now that maybe you figured out what's lacking, now you have to prepare, get it ready, present it in a manner that they're not going to take it personally, be mad at you, and they're going to get something from it and fill up that which is lacking.
Yeah.
A little fear and trembling seems to me to be appropriate.
Yeah.
You guys have prepared messages. There's a little that goes on, isn't there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Or am I the only one?
No.
No. Wherefore is a conjunction. The definition of it is as a result. What did I just read about? God manifest in the flesh, humiliating himself to the point of being crucified as a curse and then being exalted above everything. And I'm in him. To use the carnal expression, the price of poker went up.
Yeah.
Not Nick Lanny anymore. You're talking lies. You're talking eternity. You're talking God's Word. You're not trafficking in politics.
No.
You're doing something that means something. Something that's real.
Yes.
I still have yet to hear any politician make a connection between BP and Venezuela.
No. That's funny.
So I'm to present myself a living sacrifice. Do you remember how many times you got beaten up in Romans chapter 12? Oh, it was a favorite verse in Baptist revival meetings. Every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Have you presented your body a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? Are you conformed to this world, or have you been not conformed to this world? You need to come forward right now and conform to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was at a Baptist revival meeting when the kid pulled his marijuana out of his pocket and put it on the altar.
No.
I was at a Baptist revival meeting when, after one of these Romans 12s, get out of the world system, five people the next day, because it was brought up in the service, brought their television sets in and put them on the altar. They were never going to watch television again.
Yeah, buddy.
The dirty little secret is the Baptist pastor took four of them home.
Nice one.
That's not made up.
No.
That's a real thing that happened. 1560 North Fairfield Drive is where it happened. I was there when it happened. I saw the deacon help the pastor move the TVs onto the church van. Yeah, buddy. God put something in me by His grace. I have the earnest of my inheritance, the Holy Spirit of God. I'm in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in Him. He's in me. What I've got going on then is an infusion from God into sinful me that was headed for hell. And now I'm to work out that which God put in.
Yes.
Ephesians 3:16, another 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. If I'm strengthened with might by His Spirit in my inner man, should I go around like a teapot and a little bit? Or should I be the provocateur as Paul's example is? Should I open an alleged, as Paul's example is? Should I confront error? Paul fires Barnabas on the spot. Son, you're done.
Doesn't sound very loving.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. We faint not, though our outward man perish. I can testify to that. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I've got something going on in the inward man. I need to work that out. I need to make that obvious, make an example of it. God puts His word in me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It works effectually. Now, Arminians, and read their commentaries. You might want to start with James Fawcett and Brown would be a good one, but Adam Clark would be better. They'll play with the words in the verse and add that you need to work at your salvation. I want you to know something. The fine points of Arminian doctrine lead you to the position of not having the assurance of your soul's salvation until you're dead.
Yes.
Because you can lose it at any time.
Yes.
So it becomes presumptive for you to say that you're going to heaven. If you don't know that. A Baptist pastor that I love and respect said, pray for me that I don't drop the ball in the last 5 yards. And I hear that and I think, boy, that's Arminian doctrine. Mm-hmm. If he means that he could lose his salvation, a Baptist, Southern Baptist, I wouldn't think he meant that.
No.
But I was sorry to hear that come out of his mouth. There's no ball you can drop. But I'd say this, I'd be glad if I didn't mess up and make a fool of myself and become an offense to the hearer and an offense to my Lord. I would say it that way. I wouldn't say it the way he said it. Mm-hmm. I'm not working at my salvation trying to get it right. I'm not justified by my behavior, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. I've got going on in me the working, Ephesians 1:19, of his mighty power. You and I both fight against his word a lot.
Yes, we do.
I'm ashamed of myself. I ain't particularly proud of you. Because we all mess up.
Yes, we do.
We all read things. Can't you read a verse and say, oh yeah, and then walk right on with your mind still operating in its old way when you ought to be thinking a new way?
Yes.
The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I can look back now that I've been saved as long as I have and say, yeah, I can see his word working effectually in me because I'm not who I was, not even last week. I continue to grow. I shouldn't make it as difficult as I do, I guess. I shouldn't put myself in a position where I'm not taking in God's word continually. Our Calvinistic friends will say that it's God's will that you do his bidding. So you're just working out what God's will is.
Yeah.
That's not what the verse says.
No.
He puts the will in me. I have to choose according to my new strengthened inner man and according to the knowledge that I now have. I see things very differently from Calvin. I see things very differently from Jacobus Arminius. Why are there 5 points of Calvinism? Because John Calvin was answering a letter.
Yes.
And Jacobus Arminius, Arminianism, had put forth 5 points proposing that everything is free choice and free will. Calvin's 5 points weren't that he's going to come up with everything. He just answered the 5 points with his 5 points.
Yeah.
So the 5 points of Calvinism are a direct response to the 5 points of Arminianism. And I'm neither. People say either or. Another example of the people who don't know the issues framing the question, I don't let them do that. I'm neither nor. I'm a mid-ex Pauline dispensational right divider. Some people in the Bible have some things that are predestined for them, other people don't.
Yes.
Some people are complete, some people aren't. But the 5 points of Arminian doctrine, you can't be certain. The Roman Catholic Church takes it to the nth degree where that is a sin of presumption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody can know. They give you 7 sacraments, 2 of which are mutually exclusive.
Yes.
The sacrament of the priesthood, holy orders of celibacy, and the sacrament of marriage. You can't do both. So nobody can do all 7. We, mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right dividers, understand that salvation is available to everybody on planet Earth. God has reconciled the world to himself, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. It's appeared to all men, not just Calvin's elect. The grace that bringeth salvation, Titus 2:11, hath appeared to all men. We hear the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, that's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. We believe it, we trust it. God saves our soul. Now, my fear and trembling isn't about losing my salvation. My fear and trembling goes back to the previous 6 verses Paul just told me about the humiliation of Christ, the exaltation of Christ. Isn't Paul the same guy that told me about wood, hay, stubble?
Yeah.
Gold, silver, and precious stones? Isn't Paul the same guy that told me, knowing ye therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men? Choices I make as a believer are going to have eternal consequences. Whoa! That, it seems to me, is significant. I'm stuck 3 score and 10 in this pile of corruption. I'm going to be eternal in the heavenlies, incorruptible.
Yes.
What I'm doing here influences there.
Yes.
70 all of them. 70 eternal.
Yeah.
On a sin-cursed earth, in heaven with Christ.
Hmm.
I need to prioritize then the 70.
Yes.
So there's a little fear and trembling comes from that, not about losing my salvation.
No.
I ought to be more concerned about dishonoring God. Paul just told me how Christ humbled himself, took the form of a servant. God exalted him above everything. Here I am. You don't have to humble me. I start out that way. All the sin that comes short of the glory of God. Born into Adam's sinful humanity. God is offering me heavenly places. There's a reward system involved with that. We talked about that before. So I've got the example to think about. And every time I think me first, I'm wrong. Every time I'm lazy, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Every time, do you know how much easier, you wouldn't, it's my life, not yours. How much easier my life would be if I wasn't so irascible and argued with people over doctrinal issues that I think are horribly wrong? My life would be a whole lot better if I just keep my mouth shut.
You couldn't live.
I'm serious. Oh, I couldn't sleep nights. But seriously. At least I'm consistent. The Baptists didn't like me. Grace folks don't like me. At least I'm consistent. Well, we'll pick up at verse 14 next time. I thought we'd get there today, but we won't. I'm not afraid of losing my salvation.
No.
I'm not particularly afraid of you guys. I serve Him.
Amen.
When I shoot my mouth off for your hearing, I'm serving Him. That's a little fearsome. That'll make you think about it a while. That'll make, when you prepare your lessons, you go over it, make sure you don't have any big bad thing in there that you'll be sorry you said later.
Yeah.
All right, we'll stop at verse 14 and pick up there next time. Amen, amen, amen.
Good.